Pray for our pastor as they'll be traveling back later this week. And pray for our services Sunday. And we're also having new members class Sunday morning at 9:30. We have a few that are going to be joining the church on the 16th. So being mindful of that. VBS is coming up. They have a leadership meeting coming up in, I believe, 2 weeks from tomorrow night. So we got a lot of exciting things going on. Amen. And so the Lord is definitely working in our church. And I pray that you have a great holiday. But just be back at church Sunday. Amen. Amen. Let's be back at church. And so tonight, I want to show you about Thelma and Norma. This is a Citibank commercial. And I just want you just to see that. It's only about 30 seconds, but let's see. Thelma and Norma has some problems here. All right.
Thank you for calling USA in Prime.
We got a commercial there.
Thank you for calling USA Prime Credit.
Spending limit? Who cares?
Not us, because them ain't all credit cards.
Sure ain't.
The motorcycles was expensive and fast.
And loud.
Oh, yeah. Them bikes be like, wah.
No, like,
they went like, wah. Sound good, because they free. Shoot. Yeah, shoot.
Citi Identity Theft Solutions. Talk to a real person to help get your life back. Free when you get a Citi credit card or Citibank account.
Stand with me tonight and turn to the book of Revelation. I just wanted you to see that before I started preaching. And for those of you trying to figure out what they were doing, it was identity theft. Somebody has stole Thelma and Norma's identity theft. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, and that's what I want to speak to you about tonight, is dealing with identity theft. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Amen. If you're there, say amen. Now, Brother David, I may want you to play that again at the end, so just make sure we got that right queued up again. I may or may not, so just have it on standby. I might want these kids to see Thelma and Norma here tonight, so they certainly won't forget that one. Help get your life back, dealing with identity theft. If you're at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, say amen. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren," notice that, "the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." This is to come. The accuser of the brethren is still operating. He is still in business. And there's coming a day when he's going to be cast down. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of dealing with identity theft. Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and in our church. I pray tonight, God, that you would touch your servant as I speak this word tonight. May I decrease and may you increase. May the word of the Lord have free course tonight and help us to recognize our true identity in Christ. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty. Amen. Looking pretty. Amen. One of the most popular crimes today is when someone gets a hold of your personal information, such as your credit card, your bank account numbers, or your social security number. And then they use that information to get things such as a mortgage, a credit card, or they go to the ATM and wipe you out. The name of this crime is called identity theft. Identity theft is a criminal offense. It occurs when a person knowingly transfers or uses, without lawful authority, a means of identification of another person to the intent to commit, to aid or abet any unlawful activity that constitutes a violation of federal law or that constitutes a felony under any applicable state or local law. Did you know that identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America? Last year, more than 9.9 million Americans were victims of identity theft, and the cost to identity theft is $5.5 $1,000. Just out of curiosity, has anybody in our congregation tonight ever had your identity stolen or misused? Anybody? Some of you have? Well, let me tell you something. I want to tell you about somebody who tries to steal our identity. And I'm not talking about somebody in the line at the checkout. I'm not talking about a shady character parked next to the ATM. I'm talking about the devil. He is trying to steal our identity, causing us to believe something false about who we are. And he tries to make us believe that we are something other than what we are and who we are. Now, let me describe to you identity. Identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Your identity, listen, is the most important part of who you are. Your identity is the doorway to your destiny. Your identity is the doorway to your destiny. No wonder the devil wants to steal your identity. No wonder he wants to make you think that you are someone or something other than you are. Now, on the opposite end, we have the great high priest. The master deceiver on one side is accusing us. He is accusing Kyle. He is accusing Sister Rose. He's accusing Sister Deborah and others, all of us. He accuses before the throne of God as a prosecuting attorney. But on the other side is the high priest, who is our defense lawyer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See and read that with me. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want you to get the picture. The devil is accusing us, but Jesus is interceding for us. And the thing about Satan is he knows he can't deceive the Father about you. He cannot deceive the Son about you. The devil cannot convince the Holy Spirit about you or the Trinity. He cannot prove and accuse before God, and nothing that God will believe, because God knows who you are and God knows the hair on your head. He cannot convince the Father or the Son. But I tell you what, he can sure deceive you, and he can surely deceive me. And the truth of the matter is that among the rank and file of God's mighty army, we're weak, we're emaciated, we're full of doubt, full of fears. All because the enemy has stolen our identity. He tries to make us think of ourselves and one another in the worst possible means. He tries to tell us all the time. He accuses to us and says things. You're not worthy. You're not holy. You're not the person that you ought to be. And really, the truth of the matter is, in a sense, he's right. I am not worthy. I am not holy. I am not the person I need to be. But there's somebody called Jesus who is what I am supposed to be. And it really isn't about me. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, made unto us righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The translation of this passage is that in Jesus Christ, I have a new identity. I'm not the same that I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. And thank God for what I'm going to be. And I am a new creation. And because of that, I have a new identity. And it is so important that you know your identity. It's so important that you can tell the world, the flesh and the devil, not who you think you are or who the devil says you are, but who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise in this camp meeting service tonight. One family, while traveling on a vacation one weekend, they found themselves looking for a hotel. And every place they went, They saw or heard the words, no vacancies. They saw signs that said, no vacancies. And the kids in the back seat kept hearing mom and dad saying, no vacancies. And so one of the kids said, Mom, Dad, is our last name vacancy? You'll get that a little bit later tonight. It's important to know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you four ID tags tonight. Four ID. And by the way, these are just four. There's a lot more that I could give you tonight. But because you don't want me to preach till 10 o'clock tonight or even 11 o'clock tonight, and because you probably want me to wrap this up in about 27 and a half minutes, then I'm going to whittle this down to four. Are y'all ready for that tonight? Are you tired of the devil stealing your identity? Are you tired of the accuser of the brethren making, instead of your shoulders squared back, your shoulders are slumped over, and he's just accusing you? But tonight, I want you to put your shoulders back. I want you to stand up and tell the world, tell the flesh, tell the devil exactly who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready tonight? Identity tag number one. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't sound very convinced, do you? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, Brother Ricky, you don't know me. I'm just a poor flea. I'm just some lower than the dirt. I'm an old sinner, and I'm just nobody, and nothing times nothing is nothing, and I'm just got so many problems and hang-ups, and I just got so many issues. You don't know who I am. I'm telling you, if you're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you are saved and washed in His blood, you have a new identity. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Says, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now read that out loud with me, the next part. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Say this with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We were made so. We were made that way. You see, God didn't ever choose us because of our own righteousness. In fact, if you read through the book of Deuteronomy, and I don't have this on the screen, but God tells them that, He said, don't think it's because of your righteousness that I'm going to send you into the land of Canaan. He said, no, it's because of the wickedness of those people, because they're so wicked, they've got to be destroyed or else they're going to infiltrate the earth. In other words, children of Israel, it is not your righteousness. It's because the devil's so bad, and it's because I'm so good. Amen. It is not my righteousness that's going to get the promises of God in my life, because my righteousness is as filthy rags. The Apostle Paul attested to this. Now, Paul is writing this. Notice that he was before a blasphemer in one scripture. He was injurious. It says he even was a murderer, and he persecuted the church of the Lord. Paul was already in a bad way, but God broke in and God saved him. And look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he hath loved us. Go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together and has raised us up together and made us to sit together. Somebody say together. In heavenly places. Go to verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Go to verse 8. Read it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not of my own good works, not on my best. I wouldn't trust my best day to serving God, not in what somebody thinks or what I feel or what the devil says. I have been chosen not of works, but according to His works. Because of grace, I am saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God tonight that your identity is not in your works or your effort. It is in the love of God, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And being found in Him. Somebody say in Him. Not having what? My own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. What? The righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, we can never be good enough. No wonder the devil knocks us down with feelings of guilt. And when we have a thought that goes through our mind, or we get in a little tiff with our spouse, and or when we get a little road rage, or even worse, when we fail the Lord or we sin, Satan immediately comes and tells us how terrible we are, and we must not be a Christian, and those people know who you are, and they know what you've done. But my friend, we are in right standing before God, not because of who we are, not because of who we ever were, not because of what we've ever done. It is because of you cannot do enough to earn your salvation. We've got to, people think that, man, if I get saved, it's because I'm going to get good enough. I'm going to do better. Well, let me just explain it to you like this. Suppose me and Michael Jordan were on the same ship. And let's suppose that the ship was sinking. And let's suppose that there was no rescue. The only way that we could swim would be back to America. And let's just say we're out there in the middle of the Pacific, 2,000 miles away. And so the only hope we have is swimming to America 2,000 miles away. Doesn't sound very promising, does it? And let's just say I jump into the water and I start swimming. And you know me, I'm very athletic, and I'm just out there getting to it. And you know, Pastor Ricky, I mean, he is just swimming like a fish, and he is just doing good. And you know that after probably a few hundred yards, you probably know Pastor Ricky's in glory. Let's go ahead and do his funeral. Well, what about Michael Jordan? I know he's in his 50s, but he's very much more athletic than I am. Boy, he really hits that water, and he's just swimming, and he's just swimming, and he's just swimming, and he makes that about 3 miles. And I mean, he's left me in the dust. Come on, wake up tonight, folks. We're talking about the ocean. He gets up to 4 miles. But somewhere in there, he is just as strong as he is. He's just not strong enough to make it to America. And I don't care, the righteousness of God is the shore of America. Our own righteousness is sinking, and I don't care, a nun may be more good than I am or better, and that's not correct English. But let me tell you, even the nun, her righteousness will only go but so far, because somewhere in there she has sinned in word, thought, or deed. And it only takes one sin to separate us from God. So please understand, this whole thing of salvation, this whole thing of serving God is not, it's do, do, do. The whole thing is, it is done, done, done. I am the righteousness of God. Yes, I fail. Yes, I should repent. But when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be strutting and pounding my chest. I'm going to fall at His feet. And I'm going to say, Lord, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll forever shout His praises. Not that I can swim 5 miles, but that somebody swung down and picked me up on a helicopter of Calvary and took me to the shores of glory. I wish somebody would give Him praise in this. I said, I am the righteousness. Shut up, devil. I'll never be holy enough. Amen. Some of you are like, oh, if I can just be holy enough, I might could preach. Or if I could just be holy enough, I might could teach. You know, Pastor, I really can't do anything because I'm just a, and that's a lie from the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't, now I'm not of the opinion that some people take this too far and they just live any old way. Well, I'm the righteousness of God and I'll never be good enough, so I'm going to drink and I'm going to, you know, and I'm not going to deny my flesh and I'm just going to look at porn and all this. And, you know, God understands. No, He doesn't. He has given you power to overcome those sins. But the thing is, He's also given you a safety net that as you work and as you pray, and when I say work, I mean work by faith and not faith in you, but faith in Him. In fact, let me explain it to you this way. In fact, I'll do that later. All right. Well, let me explain it to you this way. I'll just go ahead and add it now. All in favor say aye. It's like the World Series. The World Series is the best of how many games? Seven. That means they have whoever wins the most of the games wins. It's what's called series. The World Series. It's not the World Game. Not like the Super Bowl where it's just one game, but it's seven, the best of seven games. Now, let's say that now in the way it is now that you play, the first team that wins how many games has won the World Series? Right. So whoever wins four games, in other words, if let's say the Washington Nationals is playing against my team, the Texas Rangers. Now, let's say the Washington Nationals win game one. Have they won the World Series yet? Let's say they win game two. Have they won it yet? Let's say they win game three. Have they won it yet? Let's say they win game four. Have they won it yet? Why? Now, do they continue to play the other three games? Or do they just stop there? They stop at game four. Whoever wins, whoever comes to number four, they stop. Are y'all following me? But let's just say that in the World Series of life, we don't stop at game four. We have to play all seven games. But we're on Team Jesus. My old man is on Team Old Man. Okay, just let me make this simple. So let's just go ahead and say that we still struggle with the old man. We got to play all seven games. But please understand that Team Jesus has won game one. Team Jesus has won game two. Team Jesus has won game three. And Team Jesus has won game four, which makes who the winner of the World Series is who? Team Jesus. Well, let's just say I lose game five. Guess what? I'm on Team Jesus and I've won. See, I got two natures. I got the old man and the new man. See, I'm on both teams, all right? Let's just say I lose game six. Let's say I have a bad day and I really mess up and I say something I shouldn't say and I've lost game number six. It's a terrible loss. But guess what? We've already won game four. Praise God. We are the righteousness of God. We have already won. I wish somebody would say amen tonight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Somebody say amen. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant and blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When every earthly prop gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Praise God, game four is over. Listen to this. When He shall come and the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is seeking sand. Say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Would you give Him a hand of praise? And don't let the devil steal your ID. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 says, you've come unto the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. That's a good crowd. Verse 23, to the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men. What does that say? The spirits of just men who were perfect. No, the spirits of just men who attend a church every time the door was open, praise God, gave a tenth of all, and does that say, is that what it says? It says you're going to heaven and you're going to be with people who've been made perfect. Can you say amen tonight? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, my second ID tag tonight is I am more than a conqueror. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Satan tells us, you're defeated. Might as well quit trying. You're too far gone. But let me tell you game number four, or you tell the devil for me. Devil, game number four. I may lose game five, but game number four, because I'm in Jesus and His team has won, therefore I've won. Can you say amen? I am victorious positionally. That means in my position, I am victorious. Now, by myself, I can't defeat the Taliban. One soldier cannot, one soldier could not kill Osama bin Laden. It took SEAL Team 6. Took many of them. They flew in the dead of night, dropped those guys down. One of the helicopters crashed. It's all right. Sometimes we crash, but the mission goes on. Amen. They jumped into that house, and before those people knew what happened, before Osama bin Laden could stretch, he had a bullet through his head, and he died for his God. That's what he wanted to do. And we obliged. Amen. But let me tell you, one person couldn't do that alone. And positionally, see, I personally may lose a battle, but I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body of Christ. I've already won game number four. I wish somebody say amen tonight. You see, everything about the Christian, God tells us, is offensive armor. For example, the Christian's army, not army, but armor, where it says put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, your shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your loins girt about with truth, tighten your belt with truth. That means, make sure everything's held together because you know the truth. So understand that there's no protection for the back, because God never intends for us to run from the devil. Amen. He intends for us to charge the devil. Why? Because we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. What about the commission of the church? What about the command of Christ? He said in Revelation chapter 7, or chapter 2 and 3, seven times He said, overcome, overcome, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. God would have never said to him that overcometh if you couldn't overcome. I'm here to tell you, you are going to overcome. As long as you don't give up, as long as you say, well, I'm just going to sleep in this Sunday. I had some bad thoughts this week and I didn't read my Bible this week. No, you got get up out of that bed. Take it another day. You don't get out of the fight. Be not weary in well doing. Keep on fighting. Keep on believing God. You have an identity. You may be weak, but He is strong. You say, well, I'm weak. Yeah, you are weak, but you're not in you. You're in Jesus, who is the strong one. Amen. You remember about Moses? He crossed the Red Sea. Daniel shut the mouths of the lions. Samson tore down the gates of the city. Are y'all hearing me tonight? The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You're afraid of the devil. It's really the opposite. The devil's really afraid of you. Last thing he wants is for you to rise up in your identity. Because you remember that scripture in the book of Acts? It says, Paul I know, and the other one I know, but who are you? So Well, those guys, they didn't know Jesus. But if he ever says, who are you? You can say, I am more. I'm a conqueror. Amen. I am more than a conqueror. We love to watch. This is an illustration. There's this movie we love to watch. It's called Raising Helen. And my wife get a kick talking about this tonight because we watch it probably once or twice every year. Just a cute little movie about a woman who had to take her sister's three children, and she's a single woman, had to raise them. Her name is Aunt Helen, so they call the movie Raising Helen, and she's never had kids, and so she moves into an apartment. Her other sister has got two or three kids and is trying to say, Helen, you got to take care of these kids, you know, you got to. And so the neighbor comes from next door, and the neighbor next door has kids as well. And so her sister that has kids said, come over here and help Helen. She's never had kids. And so the lady next door says, oh, I'll help her. I'll give her some mommy advice. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so one night Helen comes in and the oldest child is having a party. And she walks in there and she's like, oh, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And so she calls up her older sister and said, what do I do? They're having a party. Her older sister says, tell them to leave. So she goes back in there and she says, excuse me, but y'all need to go? And they're like, uh-huh, okay, we'll get to it. And her older sister gets back on the phone with her and says, go across the hall and get the lady across the hall who has kids. And so the lady across the hall comes in with a baseball bat. I got to walk up here. Comes in with a baseball bat and says, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And they're like, what? And in about 3 minutes, that party is cleared. That's the funniest scene of that movie. I laugh every time I get that movie. Because you know what? That's what we got to do with the devil. We got the mean business. Devil, you're not having my job. You're not having my wife. You're not having my teeth. They're not going to be on drugs. They're not going to be hooked on pornography. Devil, you're not having my church. I belong to Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. My pastor is Dr. Jerry R. Nelson, and I'm going to stand with our pastor, and we're going to take this city, and we're not going to be satisfied until every seat is full two or three times over till sinners run down this. Devil, we're going to rise up because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I wish somebody say amen tonight. When I'm weak, he is strong. So number one, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, I am more than a conqueror. Identity number three, I'm a child of God. The Spirit himself, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Now, I want to tell you something. Not everybody is automatically a child of God. I always say this. Everybody is a child of Adam and Eve. That's born once. If a person's just been born once, they're not a child of God. They're a creation of God. But listen, there's a difference between a creation and a child. A Ford Lincoln Town Car is a creation, but it's not a child, is it? It's just an object. Well, a human being is a creation, more than a car. But something happens. In fact, when we're born, I tell folks we're part of the Addams family. You remember that old black and white show called the Addams Family? Okay, just remember, you're part of the Addams family. You see, people say, well, I was born this way. And folks, you can argue till you're blue in the face, and they're going to tell you, well, from the earliest recollection, I've had these feelings, so I was born this way. Well, you and I both know that they were never born that way. The devil got in there and lied to them subtly. But let's just go ahead and seed it. Okay, you were born that way. Well, guess what? You can be born again. Amen? Because when you're a child of God, old things have passed away, and he gives you a new name. Amen. You get a new name. I am now a child of God. My identity is in Christ Jesus. We have a name that is higher than any other name, the name of Jesus. We have a new residence. In fact, I wrote this down in my notes. If the devil wants to get to me, he has to knock at the door and ask for permission. because I'm in Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance. Listen, when one is adopted, the parents set their love upon that child. So you adopt a child, and there's rare cases where this doesn't work, but in 98% of the cases, 99% of the cases, when people adopt a child, they choose to love a child that is not their own. And normally, 98% of the time, no matter what that child does, they keep them. Amen? Well, let me tell you, 100% of the time, unless you leave, you are a child of God forever and forever. Look at Zechariah 2 and 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he that toucheth you, toucheth what? The apple of his eye. You are the apple of God's eye. There are times in my life where I feel like, how can I make it through this? Why am I fighting this battle? How much longer is this going to last? And then I remind myself, I am the apple of his eye. He numbers the hair on my head. I want you to think about that. You are not just a creation of God. You are a new creation. Your identity is this. I'm a child of God. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Lord said, pray this way, our Father. Now, some of you didn't have a good father. Some of you had an abusive father or an absentee father. But I had a good father. My daddy was an excellent dad. He was not a Christian. But I'll tell you what, Christian or not, I knew that he loved me. And he'd put his arms around me and he'd kiss me at night in the bed and tell me how much he loved me. And he would show his care. And I know that as an adult or even as a child, that if I went to my dad and said, Dad, I really need some help, I can tell you my earthly father would have done anything possible to help me, because that's what fathers do. Tell somebody, turn around and say, I am a child of God. That's my identity. I'm a child of God. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. If you touch me, you're sticking your finger in God's eye. And I want to tell you something, you don't want to mess with God. Amen. He loves his children. Can I ask you a question? Do you love your children? Let me see your hand here tonight. Do you think I'm going to mess with Ryland? Do you think I'm going to pick on him? You think I'm going to slap him around and Kyle and Beth is just going to sit there and twiddle their thumbs? No, I'm a dead man walking. Amen. I don't care how sanctified Kyle is. He's going to kill somebody if they mess with his boy. Can I get a witness out here tonight? I'm a child of God, and the devil tries to... Now listen, God allows the enemy to make us strong, but he will not allow the enemy to defeat us. And when the devil tells you you're unworthy, when the devil tells you you have no purpose in life, when the devil tells you that you have sinned too much, you've gone to say, no, I'm a child of God. He hadn't thrown me out yet, and he don't plan to throw me out. I may leave, but he ain't going to throw me out. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it. Say, I am more than a conqueror. Say, I am a child of God. ID tag number 4 and the last one. I am redeemed. Say that with me. I am redeemed. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Say it with me tonight. I am redeemed. Now we know in the old days that there was slavery. We know that. People say, well, America was built on slavery, or America was a nation of slavery. No, that's not correct. There was a world of slavery. And when America came into being, it came into a world, it was born into a world of slavery. And for the first 200 years, America had slavery. But because of America's founding and the principles, slavery, and because of a fight, slavery was eradicated from this country. Can you say amen to that? Thank God we have no slavery today. Thank God it was the Word of God. And if you want to, if you really want to get on fire, and I wish they would teach this in school, but if you'll read about the abolitionists, they were called radical Republicans. You know why they were called radical Republicans? They were called radical Republicans because this is why they were given the title. Forget today. Talking about in 1850. They were called radical Republicans. You probably don't know this. I didn't know it until I read a book about a year ago. It's called Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns. And she's a liberal. But radical Republicans were called radical Republicans because of this. They believed we should end slavery and end slavery exactly right now, this minute. The moderate Republican said, well, we want to end slavery, but we got to give it some time to die out or else we're going to destroy the Union. But the radical Republican said, forget the Union. We'll just kill them all down there. We're going to free the slaves. They were called radical Republicans. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that, did you? But thank God slavery was ended. Amen. And you want to read some stories about people? There were men, European, white people who allowed their businesses to be tortured because they stood for freeing the slaves. Friend, America, thank God, God's people rose up. It was Christians but if they tell you Christians did all that, they're telling you wrong. I'm here to tell you it was because of Christianity that slavery was ended. Can I get a witness? Now, in the Bible, it addresses slavery because that was the part of the world. But it was always addressed with this in mind, that every man and woman of God is free under God Almighty. Well, I did a little bit of history preaching there tonight, and I hope you still love me for it. But I am free now. I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about I was a slave to addictions. I was a slave to my past. I was a slave to what choices I made. There's some of you can't get on in life because you're still worried about the past. The past is over. Turn around and wave goodbye to the past. I'm waving goodbye to it. Come on, do it right now. Wave goodbye to the past because I am redeemed. I've been bought by the blood. Listen, you know what God paid for you? Look at 1 Peter. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, for you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain lifestyle received by the tradition of your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. The price for my freedom was the blood of the Lamb. And so when the devil tells me I'm not worthy, you say, well, I must be worth something because Jesus paid for me with his blood. Say, I am redeemed. Don't let the devil steal your identity. The Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, that's John 8:36. You shall be free indeed. Now notice this, we misquote this. People quote it, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm here to tell you, there's a difference between being set free and made free. They did set some of the slaves free. But when they got free, they had no home. They had no money. They just threw them out into the world. And there was nothing, it was terrible. But let me tell you something. God didn't just set you free. He makes you free. Praise God, he'll put a key to a car. He'll put you in a condominium or a home. He'll put you at Best Buy or the state of North Carolina or somewhere and give you a job to work. He'll give you friends like Philip Pearson and Billy Lewis and Kathy Lewis. Amen. You see, I've not just been set free. Praise God. He made me free. He's given me blessings. I've got a home to live in. I've got a car to drive. I've got clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I got my same mind. I live in America. Praise God. I am blessed and anybody blessed and highly favored of God. You've been set free. You've been set free. Don't you go back to those chains. Don't you go back to yesterday. Don't you let the devil tell you. you that you're not this and you're bad and you're going to hell. The devil is a liar. You stand up. Don't let him steal your identity. You stand up and tell him, devil, I am more than a conqueror in God. You're not going to defeat me. I am the righteousness of God. Even when I fail, praise God, we've already won 4 games in the World Series of life. And even though I lose game 6, we are still part of the winning team. Hallelujah. I am redeemed. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a child of God. I'm more than a conqueror. So here's what I want us to do. Pastor Jonathan's going to come and help me close this. That is you, brother. That's your identity. Now, I want you to play that video. All right, Brother David, get that video ready because I want the kids to see this. And it goes fast. And I'll let you know when to start. But say this with me. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Put a little life into it. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
If you are all that, then live like it. Amen. Now that commercial about identity theft, they say it quick, but Citibank says we're going to protect and fix your identity theft so you can get your life back. All right, are y'all ready? Now this is kind of funny, and I hope we got the right one. Go ahead.
Spending limit, who cares?
Not us, cause them ain't all credit cards.
Sure ain't.
The motorcycles was expensive and fast.
And loud.
Oh yeah, them bikes be like, wah!
No, like,
they went like, wah! Sound good cause they free. Shoot.
City Identity Theft Solutions. Talk to a real person to help get your life back.
Help free when you get your a life back. Card would you or stay account. Amen. That was Thelma and Norma. They were true people who suffered identity. You know, the voices were somebody else because he's, listen, the point of this message tonight is don't let the devil steal your identity in Christ Jesus. Some of you need to get your life back. You need to get back in church, back in fellowship. You need to pull out that old dusty book. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen from the dead. We are more than conquerors. We are a child of God. We are redeemed. And I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say I am redeemed. Amen. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I want you, Pastor Jonathan, I just want you to close in prayer, ask the people to come, but I do want us to sing this song before we stop tonight.
Let's come to the altar tonight.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
A moment in our lives, we sometimes forget who we are. We sometimes forget what God has said about us.
Yes.
But it should never slip our mind in those moments of crisis, in those moments of heartache, in those moments when things seem to be going south. But we should remember that we are the righteousness of God today in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter what you are facing. What matters is that the greater one lives on the inside of you. And he is the one that directs your steps.
Yes.
You are more than a conqueror because your Lord and Savior conquered it all when he rose again from the dead. You're more than a conqueror in the midst of your job, in the midst of your family, in the midst of everything that goes on. You are more than a conqueror because God has already assured you the victory. You are a child of God. And to some of the students that are here, you may not feel close to your family and everyone else. You may not feel like you're close. Sometimes we go to those moments where we feel abandoned and alone and rejected. But God is here tonight reminding you, no matter what everyone says about you,
oh yeah,
you are a child of the King.
Yes.
You have a heavenly Father that loves you. And you have a big brother, your Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for you so that you can be adopted into the family of God.
Yes.
And he does not turn us away.
Yes.
But he receives us gladly.
Yes.
Because we are his children and you are redeemed. You're not a slave to your past. You're not a slave to those things that you were once addicted to. You're not a slave to the society, the world, or what they say about you. No, you are redeemed. You've been bought with a heavy price. And every time God looks at you, He yes. sees His child.
Hallelujah.
He sees a redeemed person. Yes. He's someone who can, He sees someone who can overcome because He already overcame for you.
Yes.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.
Yes.
Praying to the Lord, and I will just say a prayer over you and we'll go into worship. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word.
Yes, Lord.
I thank You that it's everlasting to everlasting.
You give my life back.
Lord, I know that everything might not be the way I thought it would be, but Father, You have a direction for us.
Yes, Lord.
You have a direction for each one of us. And You've called us redeemed. Father, today we make a commitment to You that where we say we're not going to look back and we're not going to back up again. But Father, we're going to get in gear with You. We're going to look ourselves in the mirror tomorrow morning and remind ourselves yes. who You say that we are. The enemy has tried to steal our joy and our identity. But Father, You restore yes. and make whole and make it complete.
Yes.
So Father, tonight we thank You that we are alive forevermore with You. And that Lord Jesus, we are beloved.
Yes.
We are forgiven.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
We are saints.
Hallelujah. Lord.
We are redeemed.
Yes.
We are overcomers. Not because of who we think we are, but because of what You've done for us and because of what You say that we are.
Yes, Lord. We bless You, Father.
So, Lord Jesus, tonight,
yes,
we yield to You. We're not going to allow anyone to identify us the way they want to identify us. Father, we're going to be identified
yes.
by what You say about us.
Yes.
So tonight, Lord, I bind the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I tell him he is defeated now and forever. We are not those who get tossed to and fro, but we are the ones who stand strong and boldness in God and say, I know who I am
yes.
in Christ.
Oh, yes.
Because Lord Jesus, that's the only identity that we ever need
yes.
is what You say about us.
Praise Your name, Lord.
I pray for supernatural empowerment anointing over all of us tonight.
Yeah.
Lord, that we would recognize the truth and we would abide in that truth.
Hallelujah.
And that we would see ourselves as You see us. In Jesus' name.
I'm forgiven.